As we come to God's Word, let us look to the Lord, that the Lord will be mindful of us and command a blessing through His Word. Our loving Father, we come now to Thee, and we pray for preparation of heart, for hearts that tremble at Thy Word, the broken and the contrite spirit. Lord, give us such a spirit. And we pray that Thy Word will dwell richly in every one of our lives, and we will leave with our hearts burning within us, for the Lord has spoken to us in His house. Be mindful of us then, we pray. Fill me, Lord, with Thy Spirit, and give grace whereby we may serve Thee acceptably, with reverence and with godly fear. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Song of Solomon, chapter 1, and in the verse 3, the bride, the type of the believer, she says, "Thy name is as ointment poured forth." In the East, the use of rich and costly oils, fragrant perfumes, was widespread and common. They were used in everyday life, and especially on wedding occasions. The regular anointing of the body in that hot climate brought much ease and comfort. The ointment was sometimes put in an alabaster box or in a porcelain vase. And so strong was the fragrant smell, even when the vessel containing it was emptied of its contents, the aroma remained there for centuries. The bride in our text, her heart filled and wrought up with love for the Lord being ever so precious to her, the very thought of His name, it draws her to move to have this comparison. Thy name is as ointment poured forth. We know that David opened and closed Psalm 8 with the fitting doxology to the glory of the Lord's name. He said, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth." What's in a name, we might ask? Well, the name reveals the person. We think of how it's written of the believers in Sardis in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 4. "Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments." Thou hast a few names. You see, the names stood for the person. And the Lord's name, it stands for all that He is. Sadly, that precious name is despised. It's blasphemed, it's set at naught in our time. Muslims around the world, they revere the name of Allah. Buddhists esteem the name of their founder, Buddha. Hindus, they grovel at the feet of numerous idols. Communists and atheists deny that there is any God at all. May we who are the Lord's be able to say from the depths of our being, in true sincerity, "Thy name, Lord, is as ointment poured forth." Let us consider, first of all, the excellency of the Lord's name. If ever there was a name that is as ointment poured forth, that has spread its fragrance around all of humanity the world over, it is the Lord's name. Think of the comparison between ointment and the Lord's name. Consider the preciousness of ointment. In Bible times, the ointment was made up of costly ingredients that made it ever so precious. Over in Exodus chapter 30, the Lord gave to Moses the instructions as to how to make the holy anointing oil for the tabernacle and the priests. Exodus chapter 30, verse 23. Take thou also unto thee principal spices. Note it. Principal spices, the choicest of pure myrrh, 500 shekels of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, and an oil olive of oil olive and hin. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be an holy anointing oil. And this anointing oil, it's described in Psalm 133 and verse 2 as precious. The ointment which Mary poured on the head of Christ was said to be very costly. It was valued at 300 pence. But our Lord Jesus Christ is the pearl of great price. His name in Isaiah 9 and verse 6, we see it is called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And we think of those covenant names. For example, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Raphi. What a precious name. It's the name above every other name. How precious, honorable the Lord was to the bride. Taunted by the daughters of Jerusalem with the question, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? She had no hesitation in setting before them just how precious the Lord is. Turn to chapter 5 of the Song of Solomon and verse 10, where she says, my beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. And then she describes the glory of his person in the succeeding verses, his head, his eyes, his cheeks, his hands, his legs, his mouth. And she concludes in verse 16, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Chiefest of 10,000, all to heart and mind, the rose of Sharon, ever fresh and fair, in the all-glorious beauty is combined. All uncreated excellence is here. Ointment. Think of its preciousness. Think also of its properties. The Samaritan, the Good Samaritan, remember him? He poured on the wounded man wine and oil. wine for cleansing, and oil for healing. Ointment is used to this day to heal cuts and bruises and wounds. We all have a tube of it of some description in our homes for healing purposes. And spiritually, we were full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. We were as helpless and as hopeless as the impotent man who sat there at the beautiful gate of the temple day after day, begging for a living. And Peter said this to him in Acts 4 and verse 6, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And when the people saw him walking and leaping and praising God, they were beside themselves in wonder. And Peter said to the people in verse 16 of Acts 3, "And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong." And Peter can say there is perfect soundness in him. He has been made whole through Christ. And this is the name that has healed our wounds, our bleeding sin wounds, and has made our wounded spirit whole. We think of the perfume of the ointment. When Mary poured her box of ointment on the head of Christ, the aroma of it, John chapter 12 and verse 3, the aroma of it filled the house. And here in the Song of Solomon chapter 5, notice carefully in verses 4 and 5, the bride says, "My beloved, put in his hand by the hole of the door." He put his hand on the latch, we could say. And she says, "My bowels, or my innermost being, was moved for him." And then in verse 5, "I rose up to open to my beloved." She put her hand where the Lord's hand had been. And she says, "My hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock." She put her hand where the Lord's hand was, and her hand smelt with this precious ointment, the myrrh. In chapter 1 and verse 13, she says, "A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He is not as a sprig of myrrh, but as a whole bundle." And in Psalm 45 and verse 8, the words are truly applicable to the Lord. "All thy garments smell of myrrh, and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad." Oh, the fragrance about the life, the name of our Lord and Savior. But let us get to Calvary and what fragrance there was to be found in the sacrifice of himself. Remember the words in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, where Paul says, "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." Oh, the savor of the more excellent sacrifice. What happened when the waters abated from the earth in Noah's day? Way back in Genesis chapter 8, we find Noah in verse 20 building the altar. He's drawing near to the Lord. He's building the altar unto the Lord. And the verse says, he took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And verse 21, the Lord smelled a sweet savor from Noah's altar. There came a sweet fragrance because of what Noah's altar and his sacrifices represented. It was all an early picture of Christ and his one offering for sin forever. Oh, that more excellent sacrifice, it has atoned for sin and has put in place the provision to bring the rebel sinner nigh to God. There in Ezekiel chapter 16 and the verse 14, the Lord says of his people, Ezekiel 16 and verse 14, thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty. For it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. Oh, we've been made righteous through him whose name is Jehovah Tsidkenu. As you meet with us today in this congregation, is the Lord your righteousness? Have you left aside the garments that are stained by sin? And have you been washed from your sin in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, get to the cross, that sacrifice that is as a sweet-smelling savor. May you put all your trust for your soul's salvation in the Christ of the cross. We think, secondly, in this text, not only of the excellency of the Lord's name, but then think secondly of the effusion of his name. For the text says his name is as ointment poured forth. As we said a moment ago, Mary broke her alabaster box and the whole house was filled with the odor of the ointment. The Lord's name was as ointment closed up. It was as a perfume to God and angels before man was created. It was shut up to man till the fall. The first promise of a Savior made in Eden broke the seal. The seal was removed more and more by the messianic promises and prophecies until the fullness of time came when the grace of God that brings salvation appeared to all men. The ointment of the gospel, the healing balm for the soul, was poured out at Calvary when Christ proclaimed, "It is finished." We have been called to be the Lord's witnesses. We have been redeemed to make the Lord a name. There in Isaiah chapter 63, the prophet takes his mind back in history to the crossing of the Red Sea. Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 11. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, Where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him, that led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them? And what was the purpose of it all? To make himself an everlasting name. Or as we read in verse 14, to make thyself a glorious name through his people in the crossing of the Red Sea. The Lord made himself a glorious name. The glory of his person was set forth. Wherever the Apostle Paul went, he took with him the sweet savor of the gospel. There in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, Paul can say, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place." In every place where the gospel banner was unfurled, there was a setting forth. There was a pouring out as of ointment, the Lord's great name. We must live to extol, to honor, to glorify the Lord's name, to make his saving name known. The Lord says of his people in Ezekiel chapter 36 and the verse 20. Ezekiel 36 and verse 20, "When they entered unto the heathen, whether they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, 'These are the people of the Lord,' and are gone forth out of his land. When Israel were carried to Babylonian captivity, they dishonored the Lord's name. They left their spirituality, their godliness, their song behind." Oh, we must not leave the Lord behind when we leave his sanctuary. Every believer by lip and life is to be a sweet savor of Christ. Just like Anna in the temple, she spoke of him. As ointment is poured forth, so she spoke of the Lord to all who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. The Lord's name is no longer as ointment sealed up. It is to be poured out by our daily living. So out of the innermost being, may there flow the rivers of living water, bringing the water of life to thirsty souls that drink at earth's broken cisterns. And notice lastly, the effect of the fragrance of the Lord's name. We see here in our text the character of believers. You'll see the reference to virgins. "Thy name is as ointment poured forth, therefore do the virgins love thee." Here's a reference to the Lord's people. We are to be pure in heart. We are to be kept for the Lord, faithfully cleaving to him and to his cause. Timothy was exhorted to keep himself pure. And how necessary that exhortation is for us this morning. This is a perverse generation, an unclean, a defiling age. The Lord has explained to us concerning the days prior to his return, that they will be akin, similar to Noah's days. And what do we learn about Noah's time in Genesis chapter 6 and verses 11 and 12? The earth also was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Oh, may we strive to keep ourselves unspotted from the world, living soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, being in the world but not of it. We see the believer's character and the believer's constraint. They love thee with an undivided love. John tells us in 1 John 2 and verse 15, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. A lady approached Rabbi Duncan one day complaining of the spiritual coldness of her heart. She felt that she did not love the Lord anymore. She said, the old Scottish preacher looked her straight in the eye and asked her this question: how much would you take to give him up? The question smote her heart, and she saw afresh just how much the Lord meant to her. And with tear-filled eyes, she responded, I would not give him up for all the world. What about me? What about you? We have been forgiven much. We ought to love much. We are exhorted by David, O love the Lord, all ye his saints. And there in Psalm 96 and the verse 8, we're told to give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Oh, may we live loving the Lord above all besides, so living as to uplift his name. During the 18th century, the awakening that came to these islands, that saw the birth of Methodism, Wesley and Whitfield were the prominent preachers, the personalities. And the section of the movement that followed the Arminianism of Wesley, it became known as Wesleyan. It took Wesley's name to itself. And so some friends asked Whitfield to give his name to the Calvinistic wing. And George Whitfield point blankly refused, saying, let my name perish. Whitfield's only desire was the setting apart, the uplifting, the glorifying, the hallowing of the Lord's great name. Whatsoever we do, may we do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Like the bride here in the Song of Solomon, may we too say his name. Thy name, Lord, is as ointment poured forth. May we live to the glory and the honor of our Savior's great name. Let us bow together in prayer, please. Our loving Father, how we praise thee for the one name under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. We thank thee, Lord, for the glory of thy person. We know that thou art the one who is highly exalted. The highest place that heaven affords is thine by sovereign right, thou King of kings and Lord of lords. We know that thou art the brightness of the Father's glory and the express image of his person. Oh, help us, Lord, to live, to magnify thee. We pray that we too, like those believers in Antioch, with purpose of heart, we will cleave unto the Lord. We do recognize that we're living in a day when iniquity abounds, and as a consequence, the love of many waxes cold. O, take thy word and warm our hearts. Fill them, Lord, with a fresh love for thee, our beloved, our friend, the chiefest among 10,000, the one who is the desire of all nations. Oh, work in these hearts of ours, preacher and hearer, and draw us after thee. We ask it in the Savior's name. Amen.